Harih Om Sahana Vavatu Sahanau Bhunaktu Sahaviryan Karavavahai Tejasvi Navadhi Tamastuma Vidvishavahai Om Shanti Shanti Shantihi Om Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Garadhara Shiva Sarigaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So then, okay, so now we're on the battle, the second day of the battle, and now we're with Bhima, and he's fighting with Ketumat, the king, and his son. So his son's come forward and was fighting with Bhima, killing his horses. And but then Bhima threw a mace at him with such, you know, it went so straight with such force that it hit him in the chest, killed him, and knocked him way out of his chariot. Seeing his son killed, Ketumat rushed forward, backed by his troops. Bhima took up a long sword forged from the finest blue steel. Holding the sword as well as a massive shield made of bullhide decorated with golden stars and crescents, he leapt from his chariot, hoping to kill Ketumat. He ran at him with his sword held high. Just thinking, is Ketumat an elephant? Yeah, not sure. Ketumat at once released a poison dart that sped towards Bhima. The Pandava whirled his sword and cut it down as it flew. He shouted in the exultation of battle, and his shout filled his enemies with fear. Because we remember on the first day, when they first started, all 18 Akshauhinis of soldiers shouting war cries created this huge, like, you know, a dune or dun of noise. But above that, you could hear Bhima alone shouting, right? So here, now it's a smaller group. His shouting is naturally going to make them fearful. Ketumat became completely enraged and hurled 14 more darts at Bhima, each with heads of sharpened stone. Bhima cut all of them into fragments with his sword. As he performed this wonderful feat, Ketumat's brother, Bhanumat, who was mounted upon a great elephant, rushed upon him with a lion-like roar. Unable to tolerate that cry, Bhima shouted even louder. Both yells terrified the troops, and their animals froze in fear where they stood. Bhima ran towards Bhanumat and leapt onto his elephant. With a powerful sword stroke, he cut Bhanumat into two halves, which fell on either side of the elephant. So it means he jumped up on the elephant, went up on the head, like that, just there, and then cut him in half this way. The two halves just fell like this. Okay. Bhima then swept his sword down and severed the elephant's trunk. As the beast fell like a mountain hit by a thunderbolt, Bhima jumped clear. He stood on the ground, roaring furiously, because this is a great elephant, because these are war elephants. So any elephants that you have seen, you know, whatever it is in the zoo or in the, circus or, you know, like that, these aren't war elephants. War are, you know, male elephants that they're huge. They can handle battle. They just, you know, the more it gets crazy, the more crazy they get, the more angry they get. You know, they're so big, you know, that if they stomp like this, they just stomp people. That means it's not that they're, you know, like that, crushing their foot or, you know, like that, you know, bumping their knee or something. You know, they just smash them flat, you know. They're big, big guys. The Kauravas looked in horror upon Vayu's enraged son, no longer considering him human. Right? So they just think, oh my God, what is this? You know, it's just beyond. It means they fight and they have their level, but this level that he goes to is just like so intense that even they just, you know, he's not from here. I mean, technically he's not. He is from the heavenly planets. Bhima began to whirl around like a firebrand, cleaving a path through the enemy with his bright, blood-soaked sword. Right? So it's a blue sword. That means it's the quality of steel. It's so fine like that. In Europe, they call it Damascus steel. But Damascus, they made the swords. And swords from that, they were called Damascus steel. But actually, Damascus got the steel from India. So, you know, that's you always see is these high-grade ones, they always mention how they're blue. So Habimas is blue, you know, the Nakula Sahadeva, they mentioned their swords is blue. So it's just, that's just the standard. And so now that blue sword is bright red, you know, because he's, firebrand means you're swinging like this. Firebrand means that you have something that's on fire, because you swing it like this, no one can get close to you because they'll get burnt like that. So he's swinging around like that with his sword and fighting at the same time. So he's not just swinging, you know, spinning. He's spinning and fighting and killing, and, you know, just the moves he knows and all that. It's just... Heads and limbs flew about as he slaughtered innumerable warriors and their animals. So it's not just that they fall off because he's spinning, they're flying, you know, so it's a wild. He moved around the field with the speed of a hawk. Anyone who came before him was instantly slain. So it wasn't like, you know, there was a bit of a, you know, fighting there, and then at some point he got the upper advantage. No, it's just one stroke. He's just killing, you know, that's all. He seemed to be Yamaraj himself at the time of universal disillusion. The Kaurava troops were terrified. They ran about in all directions, screaming in fear. Bhima exhibited various motions. He wheeled and whirled, making side thrusts, leaping high, jumping forward and then back. He moved about like a frenzied dancer. All the while, his sword flashed, seeming to cover all sides at once. As he butchered them, the enemy soldiers shrieked. Hundreds of elephants fell with fearful cries. Bhima hacked indiscriminately into the forces of the Kalingas and Nishadas. The ground around him was strewn with broken armor and weapons. Lances, bows, mallets, maces, darts, and axes, all cut asunder, lay everywhere. Beautiful golden housings from the backs of elephants adorned the field, along with shining bells and other colorful decorations, right? Because on the back, they're called hodas, so like that. They're like a seat. The bigger the elephant, the bigger they can be. And so they're very big, you know, have sides on them. These ones will have umbrellas, and, you know, you store all your weapons and that. Like in the chariots, they store the weapons, they store all those there. And so those are tied on, but as you kill them, they'll fall off, or you cut them off, or, you know, like this, they'll all be. The heads and arms of warriors lay about in large numbers, their jeweled ornaments glinting from the ground. Bhima could not be checked. The earth around him became a thick mire of flesh and blood. Wanting to save his soldier, Shutayusha came before him on his chariot and shouted out a challenge. He immediately shot 100 fierce arrows at the rampaging Pandava. Pierced by the arrows, like an elephant pierced by a hook, Bhima's anger knew no bounds. Right? So, you know, it just made him more angry. His charioteer, Bhishoka, came to him with a fresh chariot, and Bhima leapt aboard, crying, "Wait, wait." He rushed at Shutayusha, who continuously fired sharp arrows at him. Bhima took up his bow and sent 9 iron arrows at the Kalinga king. 3 shafts hit Shutayusha with the force of a thunderbolt and threw him lifeless to the ground. Right, so he sent 9 arrows and 3 of them hit, you know, and so then he killed him. Turning at once to Ketumat, right, because he went to attack Ketumat, because he seemed to be the leader of that attack. And then he had Banumat and then this, what is it, Shutayusha with him as other, you know, generals. And so then now he's taking care of 2 of them. Now he's going back to Ketumat. Bhima similarly slew him with a number of long shafts that left his bow with the sound of thunderclaps. The remaining Kalingas surrounded Bhima in the hundreds of thousands, all of them raining their weapons upon him at once. Bhima repelled their weapons and then took up his mace. But bad tactic. Means Bhima's on the chariot and with the bows and arrows, then he can counter all the attacks, everything like that. And you know, you see he's killed, you know, the warriors, but you get him off the chariot with a club or a sword, and then, you know, your foot soldiers, your soldiers, it means your cavalry and your elephants are gone, you know, like that. You could put them in your diary that they used to be there. right? They're just... He jumped down from his chariot and resumed fighting on foot. Wielding his large mace, he sent the Kalingas to the region of death. So rapid were his movements that no one could touch him. He crushed his enemies and they broke and ran. Seeing his foes fleeing, Bhima took out his conch and blew repeated blasts on it. The incredible sound reverberated around the field and struck the Kauravas with panic. Right, because he's blowing, and he's blowing in victory. So it'll have a certain strength to it. And at the side, you can see it's blowing. And when you look over where it's blowing, you see all the army running the opposite way. In other words, that means the Kauravas, they're running towards them to escape. So now you're going to be freaked out. Who's there? There's one guy standing there. They trembled and seemed to lose panic, I mean consciousness. As Bhima continued to move among the Kalingas, they appeared to be in a trance. The whole army shook like a large lake agitated by an alligator. Bhima wiped out their entire army, right? Because remember, it said hundreds of thousands. So he wiped them all out. It means this is what's left of what's, you know, before, you know, and it's a good contingent, right? With great difficulty, the commander rallied the few that were left and brought them back to the fight. Bhima mounted his chariot and stood ready as more troops came to assist the Kalingas. Drishtadyumna then came up to Bhima, followed by a large number of Pandava warriors. As the sun approached the western horizon, the fight raged on. Then twilight fell, the two armies disengaged and withdrew from the field. As jackals and vultures again gathered around the grisly scenes of carnage, the soldiers made their way back to their encampments. So we see is that the first day went in favor of the Kauravas. But we see the second day, and it went in favor of the Pandavas. Bhishma wreaks havoc, chapter 7. On the third day, the Kurus formed their troops into the Garuda Vyuha, shaped like the divine eagle with outspread wings. Right? So that'll be more straight wings, like that. Well, you see, the crow will have those you know, the bent wings, you know, back like this. So you have the point out here and here, so it has these very main places and all that. So now they've used the Garuda. On the neck of the eagle stood Bhishma, and his two eyes were Drona and Kritavarma. At his head stood Ashwatthama and Kripa, backed by the Matsya, Kaikeya, and Vatadhana armies. Other armies made up his two wings and back. Duryodhana with all his followers were at its center and tail, right? Because you have to have a place to protect. So in the same way is that basically at the heart is where you'll put the king. And then these others are all around, how they'll attack, how they'll deal. Because here they'll make that attack. If they spread out, then here this armies will take care. Or if you're attack and you're able to, people are so focused here, these guys can come around and catch. Because always remember, birds can go, they go like this. You know, so they can't surround. You know. In opposition to the Kurus, the Pandavas countered with a formation in the shape of a crescent. Its points towards the enemy, right? So they have the head here, you know, and then the wings. But they use the moon, the crescent, so they're going out like this. So where their head is, you have to get farther in. But for them to get in, you're already partially surrounded. You know, and then here at these points, then they can attack and come in. So because the wings will be generally weaker. But if you put something strong at the tips, then you can fight down this way. And then they're in, and then they're surrounded. So that's why each one has its advantages and disadvantages. So whatever one uses, then they use the other one to counter. No? It's good. It's fun. Bhima stood at the right point, surrounded by many kings. Drishtadyumna and the immense Panchala army formed its middle. Behind was Yudhishthira, protected by Satyaki and numerous other chariot fighters. Because the moon will be you know, thicker. It's not that, you know, certainly it's a crescent moon that's like that, but it's got some fatness here. So then at that point, that'll be Yudhishthira. Arjuna stood at the left point with Ghatotkacha and his awful Rakshasa troops, right? Because here is also Bhima and the immense Panchala army, because you need those armies there at those points, because you're dealing with army here. So foot soldiers and all that are here, so then you need here. So you have a leader who will take it in, and then, you know, so if anybody, they have to come from the middle out, but you're already devouring their troops from the two sides. You know, so it's good. Once again, the two armies closed to the sound of countless drums and conch shells. They resembled two clouds merging in the heavens. As soon as they met, the great slaughter began again. Urged on by Krishna, Arjuna displayed his full prowess. He seemed like the destroyer himself at the end of creation. Many heroes, hoping to win glory and with death as their goal, came before Arjuna as he let loose his shafts. It means, if you're going to die, you'd want to die by Arjuna, right? In a sense. As they fell by the thousands, Arjuna carved a path through the Kauravas. Fearing that Arjuna might destroy his entire force in one day, Duryodhana commanded his generals to surround the Pandavas. So that means somebody has to go from that head and go out to the wings. That means they have to go through those armies. But he's, you know, making his way in. But the point is, the farther he comes in, the less distance they have to go. You know, so it works out. Coming upon him from all sides, they hurled their bright lances, darts, clubs, maces, pikes, battle axes, mallets, and arrows. Smiling in the midst of the downpour of weapons, Arjuna quickly checked them with his arrows. Because smiling means you're very expert. It's not a difficulty, right? You know, so that's the thing that goes on. It's not a problem there. So, you know, so that's why you even see in the Natya Shastra will be described that the musicians, when they play, they should be, you know, have very pleasant, you know, faces like that. They shouldn't be making these faces where like they're, it looks like it's working so hard. Nowadays it's like, oh, you know, yeah, you're really working. But the point is that means it's hard for you. You're doing a good job, but you really have to work at it. But if you're smiling and doing the same thing, that means it's very easy. So it's just much more, you know, it gives more to the pleasantness of it. You know, then you can think about the melody and that. The other one is, oh, what is he doing? Like that. Does that make sense? You know, so the rasa can be tasted more. Arjuna quickly checked them with his arrows. At the same time, he maintained his attack on his assailants. In the sky, the celestials were astonished by his extraordinary lightness of hand, and they praised him loudly. Lightness of hand, just so quickly he can do the things. You know, how he grabs, how he does, and things like that. So very, very light. As Arjuna engaged with the Kuru chiefs, other Pandava heroes also attacked the Kauravas. Yudhishthira and the twins fought furiously, driving back the Kaurava forces with their incessant showers of arrows. When we say Arjuna is the best, that doesn't mean everybody else isn't really, really good. It just means out of those, the most excellent fighters in the world, Arjuna is the best of those. Does that make sense? Yeah. So it's not there. So one should not be surprised that Yudhishthira and the twins and Bhima, they could fight with the bows and arrows and do everything. They're also very wonderful. Bhima and Ghatotkacha, father and son, performed terrible feats of valor, right? Because they're coming in from the other side. So Arjuna was coming in from one. Yudhishthira and that, they're coming in from the middle. And then you have Bhima, now they've got around to the other side of the crescent. So it's Bhima, so father and son there. And he's with his Rakshasa army. So like, and they're big, they're strong. So similar like their father, then, you know, just go in there and just, you know, it's just how you say it would be lay waste, you know, to the army. So now we'll hear, you know, what will unfold here in this day, because the chapter, remember, is Bhima wreaks havoc. No, Bhishma wreaks havoc. It's going to be Bhishma has to come and save the day. Om Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.